Good morning, everybody. If you don't know me, my name is Dave Jones, and it's my privilege to be the leader of this great church. Welcome to my uncle and auntie, Jonathan and Rachel Birch. Amen. Wonderful blessing to my life over the whole course of it. And this morning, I'm talking about the theme for the summer, which is pause. I want to talk about resting this morning and having kind of a culture whereby we enter into kind of the rhythm of God's rest. So who here would be a rich man or woman if they had a pound for every time you say, oh, how are you doing? And they go, oh, I'm really busy at the moment. How are you doing? Oh, yeah, work's really full on. I'm really, really busy at the moment. I'd be such a rich man if I got a pound for every time that, you know, people said that to me. The reality is life is busy. You know, a lot of us have, you know, families and jobs and hobbies and church and responsibilities and chores and bills and chores and more chores. And, you know, life just soon gets really, really hectic. And add to that kind of the fact that just the whole world seems to be accelerating. You know, we now live in what's called the information age, which is the world of data. And there are, you know, millions and billions of emails being sent around the world every single day, and the amount of emails that, you know, people receive nowadays is way more than we did 5 years ago, is way, way more than we did 5, 10, 15 years ago, and it just means that essentially, and you know, we're absorbing all this data constantly. You know, there's crazy facts out there about how many adverts children will have seen by the time they get to the age of 5, and also I read this article by the BBC. BBC News, and they were saying that more people are spending time on social media. You know, that's kind of obvious. But at the same time, people are also spending less time caring for their family and less time doing proper socialising, which is kind of worrying. And that's kind of, you know, for me, kind of a, you know, some of the kind of signs and symptoms of just this kind of just busy age in which we're living in, the whole social media and internet and emails and information. It means that we can actually access life on a really, really shallow level, getting tons of information, tons of connection. Yeah, I've got 3,000 friends on Facebook or whatever. You get tons of connection on this really shallow level, and actually we become too busy to kind of give space for some of the deeper things and some of the richer things in life. You know, spending time going really deep in relationships or enjoying, you know, great philosophy or you know, great music or whatever it is. And obviously, some of us in life, you know, don't have this problem. Some of you guys aren't on social media. And, you know, some people have absolutely balanced lives, doing a fantastic job in resting and all that kind of stuff. But for others of us, it can be more difficult. And I think culturally, it's definitely an issue at the moment for, like, at least my generation. So what I'd like us to do is I'd like to look at just the topic of rest and just resting this summer and just pausing and all that kind of stuff. So how's that sound? Cool. So what does God have to say about all this? Let's turn to Genesis 2. Verse 2, oops. What I'm going to do, right, is I'm going to give a kind of a brief, kind of real quick theological, this is how I see it, and then just kind of, you know, these are some of my thoughts on the issue. Does that sound okay? And I'm going to get you guys to do a little bit of thinking, a little bit of working. So, Genesis 2, verse 2 is, by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done. And what did God do? What did God do? He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, and then what did he do? He sanctified it, he set it apart, he called it holy, because he rested in it from all his work which God had created and made. So for me, I just think it's really interesting that God himself rests. We are made in the image of God. And if God rests, then perhaps we need rest as well. Interesting thought. I mean, on one level, I really appreciate, guys, that, you know, this is kind of a really, really obvious talk. So if you just want to just listen to this statement and then go home, you can do that. Rest is good. Basically what I'm going to say this morning. So feel free to go now. I think it's also really interesting that actually God sanctifies the seventh day. He does amazing things in creation days 1 to 6. You know, he makes stuff, he creates orders, he creates systems, he builds creation. But on the last day, he actually calls it a holy day. And he calls it, you know, actually there's something about the connection between it being restful and it actually being holy. It's sanctified. That, for me, is like quite an interesting point. And you could argue that actually the 6 days are created for the seventh day. But actually, you know, God, in order to have the seventh day, the day where you appreciate community, where you appreciate beauty, where you appreciate, you know, life, you actually need days 1 to 6 in order to have day 7. That's just a thought that I had. Because I don't think you can appreciate beauty when you're working. So last year, me and Taylor Southwood were running in the woods together. I'd done it, was a, you know, a couple of months after I'd done the marathon, and I was off running and getting a bit chubby. So I thought, right, I need to you know, get back on the running. And Tay hadn't been doing any running either. So we went for this run together. We were in Burnham Beeches Woods, and we'd run for about 45 minutes. It was really hot that day, and we were both really unfit, and we were at just the border of total exhaustion. So. And we kind of come across like this really beautiful area, and like, you know, the sun is streaming through the trees and you can see all the sunbeams and everything like that. And we said to each other, this is an absolutely kind of beautiful scene, but neither of us could appreciate it in any way because we were both on the verge of death. So it's like, yeah, for some, that is totally beautiful, but I can't take this in right now because I do not care. I am just in survival mode. And for some reason, I'm not connecting to this thing in any way. So let's carry on. And I think for me, that is kind of, you know, the thing going on here is actually you can't appreciate beauty when you're working, when you're running on empty. So let's move on. Theological point number 2. Please turn to Exodus 20. And while we're doing that, I'd just like you to look at the person next to you and just say, you are absolutely amazing. Now say to them, you are created to do wonderful things. You are a bringer of life and hope wherever you go. And now just look at them and go. For some of you guys, that's like really great. Other of you guys, that's seriously awkward. I appreciate that. So, Exodus 20, verse 8, is, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. This is in the Ten Commandments, and it's commandment number 4. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any of your work, your son nor daughter, your male nor female servant, your cattle, nor your sojourner who stays with you. So, it's in the Ten Commandments. Why does God command it? I have to say, just before, you know, you answer this, it's a great commandment, if you think about it. You must have a nice day. You must have a day where you stop working hard and you do fun stuff. Hang out with your friends. Hang out with your family. Question is, why does God feel like he needs to command it? Discuss, and let's have some answers called out. Yeah, that's it. We don't know. The answer was, we don't know when to stop. That's the thing. Any other kind of thoughts? Gives us permission. So we don't feel guilty for resting. Very good. Any other thoughts? Stops exploitation. In what way? Do you want to unpack that?
So you've got loads of slaves, servants, they should work all day, every day.
Yeah, brilliant. So if you've got lots of slaves or servants, it stops you from actually forcing them to work every day.
We tend not to trust God to rely on to make up the days where over the day of basically we're going to get it done.
Yeah, so we tend not to trust God not to provide for us on our day off. So in Exodus 16, there's actually this bit where God's basically said to the people, you need to live off manna. So it's this supernatural bread which appears to them, and he provides manna for them on 6 days out of the week, but not on the seventh day. And on the sixth day, he gives them double the manna. And there's this group of guys who actually go looking for manna on the seventh day when they're supposed to be resting, and God basically tells them off and says, look, you shouldn't do this. It's that you need to learn to trust me. So there's something about kind of almost that kind of trusting God in that, you know, the busyness of life. Oh, maybe I should be checking these emails on a Saturday, or maybe I need to, you know, get all this stuff done. And actually, there's a place in our relationship with the Lord, we actually just need to trust him. Think, you know, some of these stuff, you know, God's going to cover it, and I'm going to do what he says and just rest on that day. So there's a trust element in it. Brilliant.
You don't think on the seventh day he gives it so you can all come together?
Brilliant. He gives... Yeah, on the seventh day, it gives space for a community to come and gather and worship. Although, technically, the Sabbath, the Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbat, is a Saturday. So, but that's when the Jewish people had it, yeah. And that's actually my Shabbat as well. But we'll get on to that. Yes, resting in God can bring a deep inner peace. Fantastic. This is really good stuff.
It gives us the time and the energy to show our friends and family
that we love them. Yeah. Yeah, he gives us time and the energy to actually connect with our friends and family and actually show them that we love him. Yeah, brilliant. On the time we've got off, we can actually recognise and enjoy the beautiful things in life. Fantastic. That was a good bit of group learning right there. I think, for me, I totally agree with all of those. My opinion is that he commands it in the same way that a parent says to their kid, right, you can only watch 1 hour of television a day. And actually, it wouldn't matter if, you know, the kid, you know, watched a bit more television now and again. My mum used to say that to me, you can only watch 1 hour of computer games a day. And I'm like, wow, that's so unfair. And, you know, what difference does it make? And almost, you can't see the difference that it makes when you're kind of the kid. And actually, the parent putting that boundary in place means that you don't kind of slip into being, you know, someone who's just, wah, all day, every day, which I think is the danger for humanity. God goes, you must rest. And the danger, you know, people are like, well, it doesn't matter. I can just do a few meals here. You know, you don't notice a difference. But actually, when that happens across a culture or a people group or even just in our lives, suddenly we've just slipped and we've kind of lost that sense of, you know, let's rest on this day. So it's there to force us. So let's move to the New Testament. Jesus basically makes the point that the Sabbath is there to serve man. Man isn't there to serve the Sabbath. And he also introduced the point which Karen said, which is he says, all who are thirsty, all who are weary, heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. So he introduces the theme of actually having kind of a deep spiritual rest in Christ. Actually, we can rest in Christ. And then we come into the whole kind of New Testament thing of, actually, we're no longer under the law. So in theory, we don't have to keep the Sabbath. We don't have to have a day of rest because we're not under law. We're under grace. So it's our choice now. Paul says, you know, you can do all things are permissible. So do whatever you want, but not everything is helpful. So actually, you can do whatever you want, but you'll have to face the consequences, either positive or negative consequences to that. You know, Colossians says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or the new moon or a Sabbath. So it's basically saying, look, you don't have to do this. You know, you're not under the law. But, so we've got this thing. We don't have to do it. And there's rest in Christ. And then Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews. This is the last bit of kind of theology. Hebrews 4 kind of brings the two concepts. Ooh. Kind of brings the two concepts together of resting Christ and like resting on the Sabbath. I'm not going to read the whole chapter out, but it basically brings together those two. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. That's how I remember where it is. Got a little song. Verse 1. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. Anything stand out in that verse? just verse 1. Yeah. Yeah, it's talking about the rest of Christ in this situation. Any other thoughts about what verse 1 is saying to us? Dan? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And for me, it's kind of, you know, he's actually saying that none of you, so actually there's a community thing. Actually, like, you know, this is for all of you guys, and we need to keep each other, you know, in check with this. And also, actually, he's saying, let us fear. You know, let us fear this thing. This is a serious thing. We need to enter his rest. It's something that should be taken seriously. And verse 11, we just go to verse 11. Therefore, and he's talked about the you know, introducing Sabbath, so Christ's rest and Sabbath rest. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall. Any thoughts on that? Okay, if you don't enter his rest, you lose focus, go down the wrong roads, maybe wrong decisions. Have to be intentional about it. Yes, it's diligent.
If you don't set bad examples to other people, because if you don't rest, then other people look at you and they'll feel like they
can't rest. Yeah, you don't want to set a bad example. As a community, what is the example that we're setting? Yeah, so, yes, similar thing, yeah, like we need to actually be diligent and actually being intentional, setting aside the rest. I think this is interesting, just that verse, that little bit, so that no one will fall. So for me, that is kind of like one of the key things, is actually overwork causes vulnerability. And actually, if you look at kind of, you know, Christian leaders who fall from grace or whatever, often, you know, they've been really overworked. And they're overworked, they become disillusioned, and then you start making poor moral choices because you're just vulnerable. I was speaking to Jonathan, my uncle, yesterday. I was just saying, oh, I'm thinking about, you know, speaking on rest tomorrow. And he said, oh, you know, I had a great kind of point in a talk, which links with this. It's, you know, in life, if you're driving along in a car and suddenly smoke starts pouring out your bonnet, you think, uh-oh, got to stop now, something's going on here. But in life, we're kind of driving along and we start to notice some of the kind of telltale signs of, you know, actually something's going on here. You know, I'm getting really angry with my spouse, my language is you know, going downhill. You know, I'm being more tempted at, you know, watching dodgy stuff on TV late at night, or, you know, when I see people doing stuff, I feel a lot more angry. My love meter is not as high as it used to. You know, I've got less love flowing out of me. I'm getting more frustrated. You know, well, let's plow on through. You know, the smoke's coming out, and yet, what do we do? Keep going, brother. And then suddenly, you know, we wonder that someone's just blown up. What do? You pull over, go to the side of the road, you sort it out. Rest is part of that. Okay, so Chloe and I have been on a journey. When we were first married, for the first 3 years, we basically didn't have a Shabbat. We didn't have a Sabbath. We kind of had two half Sabbaths. So Sunday is a, you know, it's not a restful day. For me, the key thing on the Sabbath is to do stuff which energizes you. So Sunday, you know, I love being here, I love being at church, but, you know, sometimes it can be a drain. You know, I'm speaking in front of you guys, and it's me pouring out. It's not something that is pouring into me. So Sunday is kind of a half day of rest, and then we're, you know, working Monday to Friday. And then Saturday, it's kind of like, right, so what do we need to do today? All right, we've got to get those bills sorted. We need to go to Sainsbury's. We need to do a shop. We need to do this bit of cleaning because we've done all of that. And you spend half of Saturday working, you have a bit more rest, and you go back to Sunday. And then that became kind of the rhythm of life. And just found that over the, like, 3 years, we just became really, really just knackered, basically. People would say, how are you doing? I go, you know what, I'm absolutely zonked. And we'd go on holiday. And I'd spend the first week on holiday just sleeping and being really like deluded about my faith and God and church, just thinking, oh, I'm absolutely exhausted. There's got to be a different way. So about like a year and a half ago, we basically said, look, let's have Shabbat. I'd like to introduce this term Shabbat because I think it's quite fun. So we basically say, oh, is that good Shabbat or is it bad Shabbat? Chloe's like, oh, we need to go and do a food shop. And I'm like, is it good Shabbat or is it bad Shabbat? Actually, the people of Israel took it seriously, so seriously that they'd prepare for it. So they know that actually Saturday is a day of rest. Therefore, Friday night, I need to go and do the food shop because Saturday is a day of celebration. Friday night, I need to make sure I get this stuff done so that actually it can be proper rest. So we say, oh, you know, shall we go to this event? I'm thinking, oh, that's bad Shabbat. Or they go, oh, yeah, should we go and do this thing? I'm like, great Shabbat, let's do it. So I just want to introduce the kind of that term, that kind of thinking of good Shabbat or bad Shabbat. And it can be any day of the week, you know, because of, you know, the culture that we live in. So you choose your Shabbat. And this is a journey for us. We're definitely not perfect in it. There are loads of times when, you know, circumstances just force you to have an absolutely exhausting Shabbat. But it's kind of trying to, you know, have introduced that kind of, you know, and kind of align with kind of God's plan and rhythm for our lives. So, and, you know, it's proving good at the moment. So, what does rest look like? I would say, you know, when, I don't know if anybody knows an archer or has seen a proper archer with their archer's bow. When it's not in use, they actually take the string off and the bow pops the other way out, round. Does that make sense? So it goes from becoming that way to that way. And I think kind of rest is a bit like that. You know, if we have a job which requires, you know, a lot of, you know, using our intellect, so lots of emails, lots of thinking, lots of reading, then actually when we rest, it's really good to do stuff which doesn't include any of that. So actually, like, let's get out there, do some walking, do some exercise, do some cycling, be, you know, more physical. Or if our job is really physical, so we're like Nathan, I'm a tree surgeon, you know, every day I'm kind of, I'm just, you know, being physical, then actually in our rest, maybe we should, you know, maybe we should do some more reading and thinking and discussing. And you know, for me, that's kind of one of the things which I kind of implement when I'm trying to rest. So, in conclusion, I'd like to propose that this is a really holy position. I want to encourage us this summer, guys, to have great Shabbats. As a church, I just want to give you permission to not come to church on a Sunday morning if you don't want to. I'd like to encourage you to have picnics with your friends, to go out to enjoy the countryside, to read, to do the things which energize you. I just think, you know, there's two options, really. You know, we can choose to make this part of our, you know, rhythm of life. We can choose to pause. We can choose to just be. We can choose to just enjoy God in resting. Or, you know, or we can just, you know, we can just give in to the, you know, the running machine of life, the merry-go-round. It's so draining. It's so full on. And it's getting worse. You know, the amount of emails we're going to receive, it's going to increase. You know, that's the case for many of us. And I just think we've got to put things in our lives which, you know, which combat that. And God had the plan from the very beginning, you know, take a great day of rest every one day every week. I do it. So you guys should do it as well. I'd like to encourage you just to close your eyes and just have a think right now. If there's anything which God would like you to start doing in your life, any things that he wants you to stop doing, any things that actually he knows that you absolutely love, that really, really energize you and bring you life, which you stopped doing, that he wants you to pick up again. Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank you that you want us to live. You came so that we might have life and life in all its fullness, and you want us to enjoy our lives and not be just people who are just tired all the time. So, Lord, just give us wisdom as a community. Help us to keep one another in check. Help us to hold one another accountable to, you know, how much we're resting and actually living healthy, sustainable lives where we can really thrive and not just survive. I just want to just give this summer to you, that this would be a summer whereby as we have a good time, as we choose to rest, enjoy some of the amazing things in life which you created, that we would meet you on a new level, that we'd be refreshed. Amen. Yeah. Your hands up. Take it easy. Take it easy this summer.
while he's